This first week of Advent, with the emphasis on hope and this theme of waiting, Lana did a nice job of pointing out that there's these 400 years between the Old Testament and the arrival of Christ, the waiting in hope. Today's sermon is titled, Hope in the Coming Messiah. Terry and I have had the opportunity recently to, once or twice a month, go down to Menominee Falls, where there's this messianic congregation known as Beth Messiah. It's a Jewish community, but the members have come to realize that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah. And the messianic congregation is open to both Gentiles, people like us, and people with Jewish backgrounds. And they all celebrate together. They have their services have a heavy dose of singing psalms, really rooted in the Old Testament, and then also contemporary Christian songs as well. So it has a nice connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because there's only one God. There's only one scripture. Everything connects. So the Old Testament is pointing towards Jesus. So Terry and I have really enjoyed our time down in Beth Messiah. They meet on Saturday because that's the Sabbath for the Jewish people. And I don't have to work, so I get to just praise and worship with them. So I love that. Well, the rabbi, Rabbi Jim, asked me if I'd like to go to lunch with him. So we met a couple of weeks ago, and we had a wonderful conversation. It's one of those lunches where you talk for 2 hours, and you're like, what did we talk about? But it was marvelous, but, 2 hours went really fast, and we just really had a good time of just talking about the congregations and our personal backgrounds and so on. Two themes came up, from my end anyway. The Jews' yearning for the coming Messiah, our yearning for the coming Messiah. So I can talk about historical things like, there's that 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. This waiting, this yearning. And also that this applies to people on an individual basis, that people are longing for God in their lives. There's this yearning, there's this waiting. And we pray for people to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And there's a waiting and there's a yearning for our loved ones and our friends and our co-workers to come to know the Lord as well. So that was one of the themes that we talked about, the Jews yearning for the coming Messiah. The other one is, kind of goes along with that, the existence of a faithful remnant. You're going to see that in today's passage. And this Rabbi Jim just kind of lit up when I brought this up. He's like, that's what is a big thing in the Jewish community, that there's this remnant throughout time, no matter how bad things get, even when the Jews are carried off to Babylon, that there's a remnant that is faithful to the Lord. And the point I wanted to bring up was it doesn't seem to matter what is happening at the kind of the local or the state or the national level. God says that I will have a remnant. I will watch over this group of people. We want to be in that remnant, of course, that we want to be faithful to God. We want to do those spiritual disciplines like reading the Bible, like praying, like worshiping. And we are assured that God will always have this remnant. The church is never going to die out, because there's always going to be a remnant that God is using to spread the kingdom of Christ. Okay, so lots of stuff in this passage. I'm going to go just kind of leapfrog over some images that are popping up. The first one is the meaning of a stump. The meaning of a stump. Goes along with this idea. Right now I'm thinking about the coming Messiah. Well, how's that connected to the Messiah? This also comes up with the remnant. From today's passage, verse 11, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. You know, you think of, a tree. Got to get rid of that tree. Maybe disease hits it. Think of a church. Think of a congregation. Think of a society. Spiritual disease hits that tree, and there's a need to cut it down, and God references that, hey, Israelites, if you don't follow me, you're going to be cut down like a tree. And then you got a, well, then you got the tree stump sitting there. Oops. So there's a reference to the stump in today's passage. I want to take us to Daniel chapter 4. Several years ago, we studied in depth Daniel's life and prophecies. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, actually was converted to Judeo and even Christian understanding. I, Nebuchadnezzar, saw in the vision. He has these visions, he has these dreams, and Daniel is gifted with the ability to interpret dreams. I, the king, saw in the visions of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said this, chop down the tree and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful person in the entire world, and he has this dream and it scares him because he knows, oh, something's going to happen to my kingdom. The top of the tree is going to get lopped off. And let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches. So Nebuchadnezzar, you are no longer going to be able to take care of everybody around you. You won't have the money, you won't have the power. Verse 15, but leave the stump of its roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze amid the tender grass of the field. Even when God punishes us, he says, leave the trunk. I'm not done with you. I'm punishing you. I'm getting you back on track. And that's what he did with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian king. He cuts down his ability to rule. He goes mad. And for 7 years, he's out with the cows in the field eating the grass. But notice, and that's the reference to the band of iron and bronze, but notice that there's still the stump left. And there's going to be a reference to the root. So let's move on to the significance of that root. Again, from verse 11 from today, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. We'll get to the shoot in a minute. The branch. And a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Oh, those roots, that's the important thing. The stump looks ugly. We're being reprimanded for falling away. But there's still those roots. In our Bible study, our Bible study that meets once a month on Wednesdays, feel free to join us if you can make it. When we were reading Ezekiel, long prophetic book, we got to chapter 37. For the first time, I saw things that I never saw in that chapter before. And here's the reading. There's hope amongst the dry bones. The message that Ezekiel gives is, don't get depressed, even if things are not looking so great, because God is still at work. There's still a Holy Spirit. Think of the Holy Spirit of that sap going through the roots. Let's take a look at chapter 37 of Ezekiel, verse 12 and 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. He's having this prophetic vision and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, a valley of dry bones. You probably know about these references anyway. Verse 2, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were a lot of bones on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry, like nothing is ever going to come out of this dry valley. Nothing spiritual growth is, no spiritual growth could possibly be there, right? Verse 11, then he said to me, this vision, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. I'm going to tell you what it means. Those bones, house of Israel, they've fallen away. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We indeed are cut off. Just like that tree was cut off. Here's the bones in the valley and they're cut off, and depression can come in and it's like, it's never going to get better. That God has left me. I'll never find God again. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. It's never too late. God's never done. And I will place you in your own land. Then, and you're going to come back. You're going to come back from Babylon. Ezekiel's up in Babylon at this time, 500s BC. then you shall know that I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Well, that's pretty assuring news. God says, I'm going to do it. You just light that candle, you take that next step, because I'm going to do it. God's Holy Spirit is going to be sent out, is continually sent out. And in today's passage, we see with the coming Messiah, there's this reference to God's Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And this coming Messiah, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Who's the Messiah? That's Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. My point I want to get across is God sends his Holy Spirit to revive us. That's what revival is, and an awakening. When God sends his Holy Spirit, I don't know how it happens. I don't know why it happens to certain people. God sends his Holy Spirit and just grabs us and pulls us in and gives us more of his Holy Spirit. We're like, this is good, I want more of this. When we're singing, we're like, this is good, I want more of this. So God sends his Holy Spirit upon the coming Messiah. And Jesus is that true vine, that the theme is the root and the sap and the root that gives life. And what is the sap? It's God's Holy Spirit that he sends to us. These words from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, 1-5. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. See, little pruning, little trimming. We sin, we wander away, and he just kind of makes way of getting those things out of our lives. It's hard to let go of those things sometimes. It's real hard. And sometimes they're good things. And God says, nope, not right now. I'm going to cut those out of your life. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Ouch. But it's for a bigger good. He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Human beings are magnificent creatures. We have all these abilities, all these skills. And yet, at the end of the day, we can't do it by ourselves. Unless it abides in the vine, unless we abide in Jesus Christ, we are not going to be effective in spreading the kingdom, and we are not going to be content in our lives unless we are connected to the vine, Jesus. Neither can you unless you abide in me, Jesus says. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, that's humbling. We're called to do all kinds of stuff. We're called to work, to plan, to work out our plan. But at the end of the day, we are nothing without God's blessing and his Holy Spirit endowing us with the ability to do the very things that God calls us to do. He wouldn't call us to do it unless he gives us the resources to carry it out. Then we have this shoot, this little branch. Have you noticed that? You cut down a tree, and all of a sudden, before too long, another branch starts coming up. We've got a stump in the backyard, and every year I cut it out. I cut the branches, and it doesn't take long at all, and those branches start coming back. And Terry reminds me, you got to get out there and dig out the root. And I tried. It's like, I got to take out my big pickaxe to try to get that thing out of there. Even when things look like it's hopeless. Sherry's laughing, you must have roots in the back. Bill, I think you're going to be digging up some roots this spring. Hope in a shoot. Verse 11, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Let's go way back. Let's go back to Genesis 3:15. Already there's prophecies between God and human beings. Adam and Eve just sinned. And God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. There's a Messiah coming. Satan, you're going to have your day. It's coming. So a prophetic passage there, all the way back, Genesis 3:15. We know from today's passage that this Messiah is going to judge. He's going to have all these virtues. He's going to judge with justice and righteousness. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge, he shall lead. Remember the judges in the Old Testament? They weren't just judges like we know of judges. They were leaders. They will lead the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. They will take care of those who need a little bit of help. This is from Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. You hear this oftentimes at Christmas time. This is from Handel's Messiah, if you've listened to Handel's Messiah. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government, and I'm hearing, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Talking about Jesus, on the throne of David, he's from the line of David, and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. Well, we just saw that passage. He's going to rule with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Jesus, the Messiah, has come, is coming back, is present now. The second theme that I talked with Rabbi Jim about was the remnant, and you can see how those, the idea of the coming of Messiah and the faithful remnant are intertwined. God is going to gather this faithful remnant. This is from today's passage. I'll just read these highlighted parts. To recover the remnant that remains of his people. God always leaves a remnant. There's always work to do. The church is never going to die out. And gather and disperse of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The Jews are spread all over the place. They're taken away to Babylon. And God says, I'm going to bring them back. Just trust me, he says. I'm going to bring them back. The remnant that remains of his people. So, passage says, again, there's going to always be a remnant that remains. This is from Jeremiah 23, 3 to 4. The subtitle I have is, God shall gather them. And Jeremiah, the prophet, he's prophesizing during, just before and as Jerusalem is overrun by the Babylonians and the Jews are carried off to Babylon. And Jeremiah says, then I will gather the remnant. So they're just being taken away. And Jeremiah prophesizes and says, the Lord says this. God says, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. Today's theme is what? Hope. Advent theme of hope. Imagine those Jews being carried off hundreds of miles away to Babylon. And they still had hope because God sent these prophets that said, you're going to end up being allowed to come back to your homeland. It's going to be a while. But it's going to happen. So I have this little picture of God's remnant. Let's bring it to us. So coming down home stretch here. Just a couple of random thoughts I had here. This is from Romans 11, 2 to 6. We are chosen by grace. Remember those slides I showed you before? We can't do anything by ourselves. We can't save ourselves. God sends his Holy Spirit. God sends his grace to pull us towards him. The passage goes like this. Do you not know what the scriptures say of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. So this is Elijah. I won't get into all the background information because of time. But he's just had a spiritual victory, and now he's tired out, and he's worn out, and he's distraught. And Elijah complains, I'm alone, I'm left, I'm all by myself. And God says, no, you're not. No, you're not. I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal, this foreign god. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace, a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. That is one of the key components of Christianity. How are we saved? Well, not by our efforts, not by our works, but by God's grace extending out to us. I just have two more slides, I think. So God comes to us and he brings grace. So kind of keep that in your head. And then on the other side, think about individuals. How does this whole process work? I'm not really sure. But I know that oftentimes we're seeking the Lord, aren't we? We're honestly saying, I want you, God. This is what Jeremiah in 29:10-14 says. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, you're going to be up in exile for 70 years. I will visit you. I'm going to come back, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to Jerusalem, to this place. For I know the plans. Oh, this is a great one. This is Terry's favorite line. Verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. You having a bad day? Look at Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's my favorite verse. Going through some bad times a long time ago, and I just hung on. You go through those hard times, and you just grab on. You just grab onto the Bible, and you just start reading, right? All of a sudden, God gives you passages to get you through that day, that hour, that minute, and then he carries you on to the next one. And somehow, along the line, things start getting better, and life gets back on track. But that's why, I don't know, I guess that's one of the reasons why God gives us the Holy Word, so that we can grab on to verses. And when you are struggling and you read something like that and it makes an impression upon you, you remember that. And you carry it with you the whole time. And all of a sudden, it's not just words on a page, it's God's Word speaking to you. Verse 14, I will be found by you. Isn't that great? You come to me, you seek me, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. All these promises. And God is reaching out to us, and we're seeking God. And sometimes God says, wait. Oh, that's so hard. God says, wait. For the Lord. This is 1 Kings 19:11-12. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains. So the prophet is up in the mountains and broke in pieces. So he's seeking the Lord. God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And a great and strong wind came and broke through the broken pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. You would think, oh, this powerful God of the universe, it's got to be a show of might. And the pastor said, nope, God's not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. Well, God's got to be in there, but no. God doesn't need a big, fancy show of force. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a thin silence. Have you ever heard that sound of a thin silence when you know you're in the presence of God? And it just overwhelms you, it overtakes you. You're like, this is good, I want more of this. You can't manufacture it. Sometimes you just got to wait for the Lord to come to you. This is Isaiah 8:17. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will, there's our word for the day, I will hope in Him. Maintaining our hope, maintaining our faith that God has us in His plans and God is going to keep a remnant. And if we are willing to be in that remnant, God says, I can use you. It might be a project here, it might be a project there. It might just be sitting at home and praying for people. It might be getting in a Bible study or just studying the Bible on your own. It might just be listening to Christian music in the barn, where Norris isn't here today, but might be listening to Christian music in the barn and just being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And God says, I have a plan for you. Sometimes you just gotta stop and listen. Well, that's hard in our society. But the rewards are worth it. Stop and listen, waiting for the Lord. So let's finish up with a word of prayer before Lana leads us in the final song. Heavenly Father, thank you for the insights that you share to us about hope in you, about your Messiah who has been here, who is here, and is coming back again, Jesus Christ, Christ the Messiah. We thank you for your promises to those who commit to following you to be in the remnant, that you will use us. So we wait, and we pause, and we wait for your message, whether it's in your holy word or in prayers or just during a song, or maybe it's a word from a fellow believer, so that we know, what do you want us to do next? We ask that you send your Holy Spirit, just keep us on track. And also, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit so that we have peace in our lives and just joy. Joy that the world does not know, because they're too bound up in stuff. And we know the true joy is being in your presence. All these things in Jesus' name we pray for the glory of you, Father. Amen.